Podcast, the show where zoologists get fighty. Today's episode is themed on dinosaurs. First, let's introduce our guests. This week we have Anirudh. Anirudh is an enigma to all who know him.
What?
Which animal are you championing today, Anirudh?
The mighty Torvosaurus.
The Torvosaurus.
That's right, the coolest dinosaur this side of the Mississippi River.
Really?
That's right.
I've never heard of it, but it sounds awesome. Our next guest came all the way from California Academy of Sciences. It's Sarah Lee. Sarah, which creature will you be championing today?
I am championing the, not technically a dinosaur, but for the purposes of this dinosaur, pterosaurs.
Pterosaurs.
Dinosaurs of the skies.
Okay. And guest number three is Izzy Sturt. Izzy Sturt.
Excellent.
If there's a temptation to make it into Stuart.
Yeah.
Okay. Some describe her as a traditional man-hating feminist. Others just say she's hot. Izzy, which animal are you championing today?
My animal today is the Leopleurodon.
The Leopleurodon. Mm-mm. And I'm Catherine Webb. All right, let's have a run through of the rules. There are three rounds. In each round, the creatures will have to face a scenario and try to survive it. Contestants, if you feel your creature is not up to the task, you can turn over your wild card, which this week has been written for you by Joy Aston, who is on sound today. You can only do that once in the competition, which you'll probably be glad of by the look on her face. At the end of each round, your creature will be judged, and I am the judge. On with the first scenario. Okay, scenario. In a Jurassic Park-type nightmare, your species has been brought back to life in modern-day America. How will you take over as the dominant species, and how will the world change as a result?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
So my animal is actually featured on Jurassic World, the new Jurassic Park film, mm-hmm. and it's the one that's in like the SeaWorld-type tank, and they have like a shark hanging over it, and it jumps up and eats it. So I vote that there's so much protest against SeaWorld at the moment because, you know, they kill orcas and stuff. Replace more with Leopleurodons. Everyone want to visit. New source of economy. Killer whales get to run free. And Save the Whales is a really powerful political slogan, so I think that will help to dominate the world.
So you're going to save the whales by throwing your own creature under the bus into SeaWorld?
Well, yeah.
All right.
I am.
That's a very Joy Aston technique. I like it. All right, Sarah. What are you going to do? You're going to have to explain to me what all of your animals are as well.
Should I backtrack?
Yeah, just backtrack a bit and tell me what your creature is.
A Leopleurodon is a marine dinosaur from the mid to late Jurassic era. And it's like it's got four big flippers, long body, long tail, and it's a long snout. And it has teeth that like stick out over each side of its jaw. And it can grow to up to 24 metres long.
Ooh. So it's like a giant, vicious, shell-less turtle.
Imagine like a crocodile with big fins instead of little stumpy legs.
Yeah.
And it's like blue and smooth and sexy instead of green and wrinkly.
It's underwater. Blue and smooth and sexy.
Yeah. It's a really sexy dinosaur.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I'd definitely go and see it in SeaWorld.
It's really cool.
I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. All right, Sarah.
So my dinosaur is pterosaurs, which are, you'd think of them often as pterodactyls or pteranodons, although mm-hmm. those are only one type of a large group of animals. They are the flying, not dinosaurs. Yeah. And they're really cool because they are the first vertebrates on Earth to have free flight. So the first ones to be able to fly and take off into the air. Which is pretty cool. They beat birds to it. They beat bats to it. And they are also much bigger than birds or bats. The biggest pterosaurs that we know of so far had a wingspan of 10 meters, 30 plus feet. So quite a large animal. And I think that all you need to do to take over the U.S. is have a patrol of flying dinosaurs that are as big as airplanes.
Yeah.
And that would probably quite quickly subdue the population, take over. And because they live over land, over water, all around the world, they could take over all the habitats and not be limited to areas near water as, say, some people's dinosaurs might be.
So they are going to take over not just America, but the whole world.
I mean, eventually. We're going to start with America.
Start with America.
Yeah. It needs taking over more desperately than anywhere else right now.
I was wondering whether any of your species were going to sort of take out the American political situation.
I think any of our dinosaurs would have enough sense to do that.
Yeah.
Except for the Torvosaur. The Torvosaur is a theropod. It's that means it eats other dinosaurs like a monster. Some kind of monster. It was hanging out in the late Jurassic period, you know, just around Colorado and Portugal. Both places where I believe there's lax drug laws, narcotics laws.
Yeah.
You said it lived this side of the Mississippi?
Well, technically the Earth is a globe.
Yes, everything is this side.
There is only one side of the Mississippi.
You speak very bad American.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is fake. It's got a sinuous skin, so it can hang out in forests, run through some forests. It likes hanging near the water. That's just how it is. It's got really cool thumbs for some reason. The thumbs are... I can't tell you too much, but I can just tell you right now. Those thumbs are pristine.
Those thumbs are like, mwah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, and taking over the world. Well, let's just say that everybody would just fall in love with the Torvosaurus's thumbs. You just take one glance at those thumbs, and you're just, you're spellbound. Just how it is.
Is he doing anything with those thumbs to spellbind you, or?
Just having them around.
Just wiggling them in front of you.
Maybe. Maybe it's all an illusion. Who knows? The Torvosaurus is too mysterious and mystical for the human brain to conceive of. So
this is a really hard one to judge because I think those were all really bad answers. but I think I'm going to go with Izzy.
I think
Izzy's one because she's going to save the whales.
Yeah.
Okay, right. On to the next scenario. As we know, the T-Rex is the basic bitch of dinosaurs. And Barney, the purple dinosaur T-Rex on Kids TV, is the basic bitch of all T-Rexes.
He's a T-Rex?
Yes. According to Wikipedia. His arms are a little bit long because he does need to use them. But, you know. PBS have decided to ditch Barney in favour of a newer, more exciting dinosaur leader. For preschoolers. Make a case that we should use your dinosaur.
So, my dinosaur has already been used in a part of popular culture, which is Charlie the Unicorn videos on YouTube, in which they're an American magical Neopleurodon. So it's already been tried and tested as a hit kids dinosaur. It's fun, it's in water, everyone likes things in water. Exhibit A, dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Exhibit B, Finding Nemo. Exhibit C, swimming pools, they're fun. I feel like a marine, because you could either have it flying around, like on land, or have it in a tank, like a guy in people within a tank. But yeah, I would argue mine is a tried and tested favourite childhood dinosaur.
Yeah, that's good. How do you think the Leopleurodon would teach good preschool morals, like Barney does? About inclusivity and treating your friends how you'd like to be treated yourself. Do you think the Leopleurodon would do well at that?
It's got really wide flippers, so it would cuddle. It would like put its flippers around its friends and encourage friendship. And it could also be used as an example of bad table manners because it would be able to hold cutlery. So then you would be able to come along and say, "That's not how you eat your dinner, Leopleurodon. Do it this way."
Yeah.
Two rock solid examples.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's rock solid. All right. Sarah.
Hi. So I have a 3-point plan to use pterosaurs as the replacement for Barney. Point one, pterosaurs are adorable. They come in a huge range of sizes, from ones that would fit in the palm of your hand to the one I mentioned, which is as big as not even the smallest airplanes, a decent-sized airplane. They come from what we know, probably in many varieties of color. Some of them, maybe all of them, have filament feather type things on them that make them kind of fuzzy and cute and warm. And they do amazing things. They can throw themselves into the sky, even a Quetzalcoatlus, which when it was standing on the ground... No, so here's the difference. Here's the sexy thing. So a Quetzalcoatlus standing on the ground is taller than a giraffe.
Whoa.
And it could, without running, without doing anything, from just standing still, the best scientific theories right now are that it could launch itself into the sky and fly away.
Oh, damn.
Now, here's how they can teach you amazing lessons, as well as being adorable and exciting. They are diverse. Pterosaurs have a huge range of shapes, sizes, colors, ways of living, places they live, things they do. But they have in common this love of flight and travel, and they would be able to relate to each other and form a friend group together that way. And then the last thing that I think is really important and sometimes left out of children's TV is that we don't have all the answers about pterosaurs. They're an open area of research, and there are things people are still figuring out, and I don't think anyone is too young to be told that science is a process and that their guesses and ideas might be just as effective and accurate as a scientist's.
Awesome. Follow that, Annie Reid.
Look, I'm gonna start my part with just a disclaimer. Well, not really a disclaimer, just a little foreword. Dinosaurs are always going to be terrifying and horrifying to kids because they're basically reptile monsters. They're probably from hell, most likely, because they're pretty scary. They're kind of like nightmare creatures in a way, if you think about it, because they're scary and stuff. But just that out of the way, first point. So how would it be good for a kids' TV show? That's the challenge, right? They're pretty scary. How would you do it? I'd say the Torvosaurus, the humble Torvosaurus, you would not need to concentrate on its scary face. It's, you know, its horrible scales and its teeth that could rip a 3-year-old child into just dust in seconds. That's, I'll tell you what. You get.
How I feel when I see a kid in a pram on my commute.
Yeah. That's one hell of a reaction to have. No, the humble Torvosaurus would only need to wiggle its beautiful thumb. And within its thumb, of course, some people say that all of the universe's teachings are contained within it. So
Is that the Torah?
In a way, if you think about it on a spiritual level, and what better way to teach our kids than
through the Torah?
The Torvosaurus's Torah.
Is this like a specifically Jewish-themed dinosaur children's program, or is it multi-faith?
It is. Hava Nagila is what it's called.
Oh! Nice.
Shout out to the Jewish people.
Shout out. So yeah, just...
So you're going to do it by containing religious teachings within its thumb.
Oldest knowledge in the world.
I mean, I'm sold. I'm sold. I'm not generally religious, but I will. If I saw a dinosaur preaching with its thumbs, I would be on the board.
I guess.
Okay, I think. Yeah. I think that maybe yours needs to go on a different channel.
Yours is more of a Discovery
Channel.
Yours is Animal Planet.
Yeah, History Channel maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it could have its own televangelist kind of.
Yeah. I would prefer that. I would prefer not to have any government involvement in my Torvosaurus television show.
Yeah. I could see that. So I think Sarah wins that. Next scenario is about Dinosaur Train. Mrs. Pteranodon. Very important woman.
Oh boy, my eggs are hatching.
One by one, it gets pot free. Baby Pteranodon, 1, 2, 3.
I'll name you Tiny, Shiny, and Dawn.
But Tiny said,
wait, there's one more, Mom.
Last little baby was a different size. A teeth and a tail and big green eyes. It didn't look anything like the rest.
What am I doing in a train? Pteranodon nest.
But your old Mrs. Pteranodon said...
Oh, this is your family and I'm your mom. You may be different, but we're all creatures. All dinosaurs have different features.
Yeah, right. So...
funky.
This is a program that I used to watch a lot after I'd just had my second child, who I'm going to say was quite a strange child. And I was inspired by Mrs. Pteranodon and the way that she just took it in her stride when she had a T-Rex in her nest.
You've watched
she
the show,
just so. Took them on a vacation. It was amazing. She did great work. She was like... You know, she was coping a lot better than I was, I'll say, at that time. So...
Are you saying that she's your idol, Mrs. Pteranodon?
Not now, but during the dark postnatal depression days, I used to sing that along a lot. And so, from that stems our next scenario. Okay. So, you are on, I'm calling it popular, even though nobody knows what it is, popular children's TV show, Dinosaur Train. And Mrs. Pteranodon has just hatched your egg. What special qualities will you bring to the Pteranodon family? And for bonus points, how will you help Mrs. Pteranodon overcome the inevitable postnatal depression which might accompany such a confusing birth? And I think Sarah might need to use her wild card because I think she is sort of technically a pteranodon.
I don't think my version of this would probably be very good. Yeah, okay. Pteranodons are a type of pterosaur. This would be a problem.
Yeah, okay. What's your wild card?
I have actually my favourite dinosaur, which I thought was a bit too much of a basic bitch to do. Triceratops.
Triceratops. Mmm.
Okay.
All right.
Shall I go first again?
Yeah.
So I think a Leoplerodon would make a fine addition to a Pteranodon family because, you know, they're combating all the elements together. They're doing air, land and sea. So there's like a nice kind of, if they drop something in the ocean, Leoplerodon can go down and get it for them. I'm envisioning right now like a really cool sort of like a panning drone shot of the Pteranodons soaring like over the sea and the Leoplerodon like jumps out underneath them and they kind of interweave and like jump over each other and stuff, and I think that'll be really fun for the people to animate. again, teamwork I'm going for. You could just get them stuff from. You could expand their diet. I don't think
they both eat fish. I think, don't they?
Oh, they catch the fish from the surface.
Yeah.
Well, Leoplerodon can get mollusks from the seabed. Could make like a sushi buffet between them, so they can do like the fish that go close to the surface. Leoplerodon can do more of like a sea urchin sushi's really nice.
It could be like a bake-off mashup kind of thing.
Sushi, yeah. Sushi dinosaur train. Like, that's the dining cart. They made this kind of sushi medley. That's what I'll... But they wouldn't be that different. They would be able to get along because they've both got wings of sorts or, like, flippers. They've both got a long, like, snout with teeth in. They both eat fish. I think they could... He's more of like a cousin than a completely alien other kind of dinosaur.
And the family that eats together stays together.
Absolutely.
So that might help combating with the Mrs. Pteranodon's postnatal situation.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. How are you gonna do this?
Yeah, so Triceratops is quite a lovely dinosaur. They are from the Triassic, which overlaps with Pteranodons, so in real life they could have been next to each other. And I think that that's important because these sort of real life relationships and communities that you build are what's really important in those tough moments in your life when things are really hitting you. And I think Triceratops being sort of a stronger, bigger dinosaur than a Pteranodon could maybe take the kids out and help out, deal with some things, bring back some food to eat. And I think that it would have a good message of hope for the mother, because Triceratops has this amazing story that there were these two dinosaurs that they used to think were separate dinosaurs. And then they realized they weren't, that as Triceratops got older, this other dinosaur they thought it was, Triceratops turns into it. They developed holes in their thrill and changed their appearance. And in that, they became so different that to scientists today, it took us decades to figure out they were the same animal, just different ages. And I think that's a really important, like, lesson for anybody who's struggling with postpartum feelings, whether they're depression or just regular baby blues, to know that phases happen, changes happen.
Your child will change eventually.
It will stop loving you one day.
That might be
one
a
day.
Message of hope with a newborn.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Okay, right, good, yep. And are we going to use the thumbs again?
Well, I mean, I don't want to.
Or you could do wild card.
I
but
could
then
do
you'd
wild
have to know
yeah,
what it
that's
was
that's
on
true.
The wild card.
So on a very auspicious night, Mrs. Pterodon, is it Pterodon?
Pteranodon.
Mrs. Pteranodon gives birth to an
birth.
Egg.
An
egg hatches.
Do you
an
know
egg.
Birth?
They give. She gives birth. The star. A star is seen above.
A star. The above the nest.
Above the nest.
Three wise dinosaurs appear.
Indeed, but how do you know the? You tell you know what I was going to say. That's amazing.
It's like we have a shared
cultural history. So. Yeah, I think the Torvosaurus would be a welcome addition to the family. You know, considering that the Torvosaurus
has
those really. No, I really cannot stress how beautiful these thumbs are. They're
Could
just.
You explain that a little more.
Okay, so when the remains were found, the Torvosaurus, the archaeologists couldn't help but notice how beautiful the paleontologists too. Might I add, who were also there. I couldn't help but notice how developed the thumbs were. They couldn't help but exclaim. Oh, how developed these thumbs, how wonderful
We have a question.
Why, what big thumbs you have? All the better to thumb you with!
We've got a question from the audience, which is, can we clarify, are the thumbs grabby or stabby?
Well... Every Torvosaurus is their own Torvosaurus, and they can have their thumbs however they like, and that's what the Torvosaurus from the Jim Henson Company's Dinosaur Train was trying to teach the world, was trying to teach all the kids that it doesn't matter if you have a stabby thumb, it doesn't matter if you have the other kind of thumb,
grabby.
Grabby.
I'm pretty sure it's a grabby thumb, isn't it?
Yeah.
Torvosaurus?
Absolutely. Certainly.
I don't know why I'm helping.
Oh, thank you, by the way. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I don't I think Torvosaurus really speaks for itself, really. In its own sort of thumb based language.
I don't think that was an answer. Do you wanna try again?
You know what? This time I'm gonna whip out my Can I make the switch? What do you think is too late?
Not how any of this works.
Is it too late to make the switch?
No, you can't do it now.
I can't
okay.
do it now.
All right. I don't normally have a sound person that talks to me this much, but the sound person is going, give him Izzy's wild card. Give him Izzy's wild card.
Shall I do a trade with my wild card?
Yeah.
I'm okay with this.
Okay, right. Now you've got Izzy's wild cards. So, Mrs. Pteranodon, egg's just hatched. Is he going to contribute to the Pteranodon family? What is it?
May the great Torvosaurus help me.
So the wild card is...
Wow. I know exactly what this dinosaur is.
Are you struggling with the pronunciation of the Latin name?
Oh yes, because it's a tough language. I usually read cuneiform, but this one says the one with the really long neck. That's exactly what it says in the paper.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be a number of.
That could be
a.
There
could
are
a
lot of A's there. We should point out it's really.
Yeah, it's a lot. We're talking about over five, maybe even six A's here.
Okay, so it's a really long neck. How is that neck going to help out the Pteranodon family?
Well, they're all airborne. I imagine they can sort of perch on the neck of this mystery dinosaur, you know, while they're walking around like a walking tree.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be hilarious for the kids to look at. How ridiculous. Bird dinosaurs in the neck of a walking dinosaur.
That kind of, the big size difference kind of reminds me of Elf. Him having to sit on his dad's lap and him being like five times bigger than his, the Brontosaurus or Diplodocus or whatever it is, sitting on its mum's lap and like squashing its mum and being like, read me a bedtime story. 15 times the length.
Yeah, it might sort of create the ultimate solution to her depression if it tried to sit on her lap.
Yeah, it would kill her. Yeah, that would be the end of it.
Yeah, that Patasaurus, man. That would be like it.
Okay, and on that note, I can't remember anyone's answer to that question, so I'm going to say that Izzy is a first-time person on the show is the winner of both that round and the whole of Creature Wars. Woo! Bye.